Innocently Condemned, Chapter 84. For the second time on this Friday morning, Jesus is brought before Pilate's judgment seat. You can be certain Pilate was not happy, and when he saw Jesus this second time, he hears that Herod also found no guilt in Jesus. This makes the case much more difficult. He feels he should free Jesus, but he dare not. The Jewish chief priests stand outside and wait with mounting impatience for the governor's verdict. It takes entirely too long to suit the chief priests. What they feared comes to pass. Gradually, the inhabitants of Jerusalem come outside, and with them many Passover celebrants. Continually, more people are on the move. But the Jewish rulers decide to keep on. At last, they have this hated Nazarene in their power, and their plans are to make certain he is not set free. Otherwise, all their pains would be in vain. Pilate comes out to them. Everyone listens intently. "You have brought this man to me," he begins, "but I have found no fault in him. Truly, he did nothing for which he should die. I have sent him to Herod, but he also declared him to be innocent. Therefore, I will set him free." The faces of the members of the Sanhedrin fall, and their eyes sparkle ominously. Resolutely, they press their lips together. But Pilate is not finished speaking. He still desires to keep the Jews as his friends. Therefore, he proposes, "I will chastise him and release him." "You are wrong, Pilate. That is very unrighteous. Why do you want to chastise him? You may not harm him in any way. You declared him to be innocent. Will you chastise the innocent Jesus for the sake of pleasing the Jews? Will you scourge him? Is that right?" Alas, children, Pilate wants to get out of this difficulty. He begins to manipulate. He hopes the Jews will be satisfied with scourging Jesus, but he is mistaken. Upon hearing this proposal, the rulers of the Jews shake their heads vehemently. No, they are not satisfied with a scourging of Jesus. They demand he be put to death. He must and will be done away with. In this way, Pilate makes no progress. At last, he no longer knows what to do. It goes against the will of this proud Roman to yield to the demand of the rulers of the Jews. On the other hand, he fears their rage. Suddenly, a few people from among the multitude cry out that Pilate must release a prisoner. "Release a prisoner? Why?" "Yes, boys and girls, in those days it was a regular custom for Pilate to release a prisoner of the Jews at the Passover. The Jewish people could choose whom they wanted to be released. At this time, the Jews demand Pilate to release a prisoner, for that as yet had not been done." When Pilate hears this, his face brightens. Probably, now he will have a good opportunity to give Jesus his freedom. He noticed that only the rulers wanted Jesus to be slain. He will let the multitude choose. It could be the hatred against Jesus is not so great among the people. "Good," he says. "As customary, I now will release a prisoner. Whom do you want me to release? Jesus or Barabbas?" "Barabbas? Who is he? We have never heard of him before." "Don't you know? The inhabitants of Jerusalem know very well who he is." Barabbas is a criminal. He urged the people to rebel against the Romans, for which reason he was imprisoned. He not only was a rebel, but also a murderer. He is a dangerous man. He now groans in prison as he waits for death, because there is no pardon for him. He will be crucified. Pilate purposely chooses this dangerous murderer. He places this well-known criminal, for whom no one has compassion, against the innocent Jesus. He expects the Jewish people to choose Jesus. Of course, it cannot be otherwise. Then he, Pilate, will be delivered out of all this misery. Pilate was not allowed to do what he did here. He wasn't allowed to set the innocent Jesus against the exceedingly guilty Barabbas. Hence, the Lord Jesus is put on the same level as Barabbas. Jesus is reckoned the same as Barabbas. By doing this, Pilate, the judge, acted very unrighteously. In anxious suspense, he waits for the answer which the Jewish people must give upon his proposal. He notices that the Jews hesitate. Suddenly, he is called inside. A messenger arrived with a message for him from his wife. Would you like to know what message his wife sent him? Listen while I read it to you from Matthew. Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Oh, this is such a strange message. What does she really mean? Who is this just man? She means Jesus, the Nazarene. How does she know Jesus is a just man? She is a heathen. Still, she calls this unknown Jesus a just man. She dreamt about the Lord Jesus, not by chance, but because God so willed it. Now that she has awakened, she has not forgotten her dream. On the contrary, this dream has made a deep impression upon her. She is afraid her husband will do wrong things. Therefore, she sends the message to warn Pilate. Even from the mouth of this heathen woman comes the testimony that Jesus is righteous. He is guiltless. You can be sure the message alarmed Pilate. Oh, he desires to do everything he can to deliver Jesus. Again, he hastens outside to the waiting multitude. Now, who must I release, he asks by renewal, Jesus or Barabbas? There is a moment's silence. Then the people answer in unison, as if with one voice, release unto us Barabbas. Pilate shrinks back. Perplexed, he momentarily stares at the multitude. He did not expect this answer. Why do they choose Barabbas? Can it be the hatred is so great that they rather would choose a murderer instead of an innocent person? Undoubtedly, the chief priests went amongst the people while Pilate was away for that short time, and persuaded them they should choose Barabbas, the criminal, to be set free. The multitude is influenced so greatly by these wicked rulers that the people listened to them. Therefore, they so readily and unitedly answered, release unto us Barabbas. Isn't that terrible? Yes, indeed, not only the rulers, but also the people rejected Jesus, the Messiah, their king. The people also are guilty. However, The sly plan of Pilate fails. What must I do with Jesus? He asks undecidedly and confusedly. You must not ask that, Pilate. You are judge. You must make the decision. You must release him immediately, for he is guiltless. Do you understand how Pilate is planning? What must I do with Jesus? The proud governor again questions the people blinded by hate. He need not wait long for the answer. Immediately the multitude cries and shouts, "Let him be crucified!" The Jews stoned malefactors, but this way of killing did not exist among the Romans. The Romans crucified malefactors. It was a terrible, a very painful death. It also was degrading, and by God, it was a cursed death. Jesus had to die this humiliating death in order to deliver his people from the curse of sin. Let him be crucified. This is a terrible demand. He, the miracle-performing prophet, he who always helped and cured the sick and afflicted, must be crucified. What a shameful unthankfulness of the Jewish people. Perhaps some Jews, who at one time were cured by him, were among those who shouted. But Pilate will not have it so. He still cannot decide to kill one who is innocent. He cannot condemn Jesus. I will chastise him, and then I will let him go, he shouts to the people. He hopes they will be satisfied with that. And what answer does he receive? Crucify him! Crucify him! The multitude yells excitedly. Pilate begins to despair. What evil hath he done? He asks desperately. Tell me of what he has made himself guilty. He receives no answer to this question. Let him be crucified! Let him be crucified! The misguided multitude shouts. They are no longer capable of reason. Pilate does not know what to do. He commands the soldiers to scourge Jesus. That is not administering justice, Pilate. It is injustice. These cruel heathen soldiers quickly rush to the Lord Jesus and take him inside. They pull off his clothing and whip him mercilessly. Now you must know, the scourging of the Romans was very cruel. The whip which they used was made of a stick upon which several leather straps were bound. Lead buttons and sometimes sharp pins were fastened to the ends of these straps. With his weapon, they would hit the malefactor upon his bare back. The Lord Jesus is beaten with this kind of whip. It isn't long before the Savior's back is torn open. God's people deserved these strokes, children, and they deserved to be scourged as punishment for their sins. They were guilty. But now Jesus, their Savior, receives this lashing in the place of his elect. Isaiah said long ago, "With his stripes we are healed." This prophecy is being fulfilled here. He receives stripes or bruises, as it is in the margin, so his people would be eternally free. He receives these painful, grievous blows out of love for them whom he purchased. The punishment of sin is very heavy. The Savior had to pay this high price to purchase his people. It is also being fulfilled what the psalmist foretold ages ago in Psalm 129, verse 3, where we read, "The plowers plowed upon my back." After this lashing, the cruel heathens throw a purple robe over the shoulders of the suffering Savior. Purple was worn by kings, but the soldiers do not dress him in purple to honor Jesus. Oh no, they mock and deride this heavenly king. They do it to insult him. A king wears a crown, doesn't he? A golden crown. The Lord Jesus, who had said he is the King of Israel, also must wear a crown. However, the Romans do not take a golden crown for the Lord Jesus, but they quickly weave a crown of thorns and push this thorny crown upon the head of the Son of God. A king has a golden scepter in his hand. Jesus must also carry a scepter. They put a reed into his hand. That is his scepter. Behold, there stands the Messiah. And then these rough heathen soldiers fall upon their knees, and mockingly these words come from their mouths, "Hail, King of the Jews." They worship him with sneers upon their lips. They do not worship him in truth, but with complete contempt. Jesus must bear this great scorn and derision. And the Lord is silent. He permits it. He does not defend himself. Oh, he, the Almighty God, could punish these mockers with one word from his divine mouth, and everyone would fall dead. But he does not say a word. Silently he endures this painful suffering as the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Some soldiers hit the Lord in the face. Others spit on him. Another roughly pulls the reed from the Savior's hand and hits the crown of thorns with it, causing the sharp points to push deeply into Jesus' head. Then Pilate, the unjust judge, puts an end to this and takes the Son of God outside and lets the Jewish people see Jesus in this condition. "Behold the man," Pilate says compassionately. He hopes the Jews will begin to have pity on the Lord Jesus. He hopes the people will say, "It is enough. Jesus need not suffer any more. Release him now." This is what Pilate desires. "I find no fault in him," he again declares, while at the same time he had permitted the Lord to be mistreated and ridiculed so inhumanly and cruelly. When the Jews see Jesus standing there in this condition, they yell and shout, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And they have no compassion. They demand his crucifixion. "Take ye him and crucify him," Pilate cries, "for I find no fault in him." And the answer rings out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" It is true, Jesus had to suffer and die, and so that he would bear the wrath of God against sin. But what a heavy load of guilt did the Jewish people bring upon themselves here. Willfully and freely they reject the long-promised Messiah, and they reject their heavenly King. Their shouting resounds far in the distance. After this outburst, the clamor quiets down for a short time. The chief priests make use of this moment He made himself the Son of God, therefore he must die, they shout. According to our law, he is guilty of death, for he is a blasphemer. Pilate frightens when he hears this. He casts a shy look at Jesus. God's son? Could it be true? Could this strange, quiet man be a son of the gods? You must remember that Pilate was a heathen, and the heathens believed that sometimes the gods came upon the earth. They had a superstitious fear and reverence for such a son of the gods. Therefore, we read in the Bible that Pilate feared so much the more. No fear of the Jews is meant here, but a superstitious fear of Jesus. Is he really a son of the gods? He must inquire into this. Again, he takes Jesus inside and asks inquisitively, "Whence art thou?" He means, "Are you truly of heavenly origin?" But Jesus is silent. He does not answer this unjust Roman judge. Then Pilate becomes angry. "How is it," he says, as if he were offended, "you do not answer me? Don't you know I have power to release you, but also to crucify you? Do you think I am unworthy of an answer?" Then these serious words resound from the Lord's mouth. "You would have no power of yourself if God did not give you this power." The Lord means, God allows all this to happen, otherwise you would have no power. But, the Lord Jesus continues, "the guilt of the Jews who delivered me to you is greater than your guilt." It is true, Pilate is also guilty, for he does not judge righteously. Pilate was a heathen who knew no better, but the Jews were no heathens, for they knew better. For this reason, the sin of the Jews is greater. Pilate hears this answer. This Jesus is such a strange, singular man. He stares at Jesus in utmost astonishment and bewilderment. A superstitious fear lies in his eyes. He makes a firm decision. He will not condemn Jesus. He will not think of it. He again hastens out and says, "Really, I find no fault in him. I will release him." But then the Jewish rulers begin to threaten. "If you let this man go, we will write to Caesar in Rome. We will accuse you and say you released a rebel. You will no longer be Caesar's friend." Pilate turns pale when he hears these threatening words. Oh, if that happens, his career is finished. Caesar will investigate all things, and his wrong actions and crafty tricks will be found out. It will cost him his life, for the Roman Caesar is cruel and stern. No, now he cannot release Jesus, for then he himself is doomed. And then Pilate sits upon a seat on a broad pavement which is in front of the courthouse. Jesus still stands there, clothed in the purple robe, and his blood-stained head is bedecked with the roughly woven crown of thorns. "Behold your king," Pilate says to the Jews, but this time a mocking ring lies in his voice. A wild cry flares up, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" the Jewish rulers demand. "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" So also is the demand of the Jewish people. Pilate asks, "Shall I crucify your king?" "We have no king but Caesar," they shout wildly. By renewal, The heavenly king is rejected by the Jewish people. They choose the Roman Caesar above the king of Israel. Pilate shrugs his shoulders. He feels he can accomplish nothing more. Everything fails. All his efforts to release Jesus fail because the hatred of the Jewish chief priests against Jesus is so great. Pilate sends for a vessel of water, washes his hands in everyone's presence, and says, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person." What follows? Oh, I hardly dare tell you the answer of this foolish multitude. And they say, "We will take that to our own account. We are not afraid of that blood, the blood of this Nazarene. His blood be on us and on our children." Such foolish people, they do not know what they say. They do not realize the result of these horrible words. Shamelessly, they call the blood of Christ in its punishing and in its avenging power on themselves and on their children. Horrible, dreadful, how dare they? That blood has come upon them. 40 years later, in Jerusalem, was besieged by strong Roman armies. Thousands of Jews were crucified outside the city by the embittered Romans. At that time, the hills around Jerusalem were so filled with crosses, and there was no room left to erect new crosses. In the centuries which followed, the Jews were oppressed and persecuted, and they have been chased and driven about as wild beasts. They were hated and despised everywhere. In no place were they safe. They had no rest anywhere. As the ages went by, millions have been murdered. Jesus' blood pursues the Jews to the present day. By sad experience, they know they have thoughtlessly uttered those terrible words. And still, boys and girls, I also call to you, may his blood come on you, but not in its damning power, but in its saving and cleansing power. I hope this blood will cleanse your souls from sin. I hope this blood will make you free from the pollution of sin. However, the Jews did not mean it this way. After these words, which were full of hatred, Pilate abandons his desire to release Jesus. He is afraid rebellion will break loose if he continues to linger. He gives the command that the guiltless Jesus must be crucified. Happily, Jesus will be crucified innocently, because thereby he is the Savior of his people. Only by being innocent could he atone for the sins of his elect. The Jews have their wish. Upon the command of Pilate, the doors of the prison are opened for Barabbas, who is released, while this criminal, this rebel and murderer, is walking free through the streets of Jerusalem. The soldiers are getting ready to bring Jesus as a malefactor to Golgotha's height. Children, see in this the image of all God's people, guilty sinners, rebels against God, and shall go free eternally because in their place the innocent Jesus was punished and slain. How blessed it would be if you too were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. The possibility still exists for you, boys and girls, to be saved. You still can be converted. You still can be saved by grace. God's callings still come to you. Bend your knees often and entreat the Lord for the renewing of your heart. This is necessary. It is indispensable. If it is lacking, you lack everything.